Hi, I'm Henry Reinga, and with me is Dr. Roy Clauser. So, Roy, one of the things that we get asked by ministry training students all over is sort of the philosophic drift that there is no more real male and female. There's all sorts of genders, 400 different genders now. Is really? Talked about, and again, I'm not talking about those who have same-sex attraction here. I'm not talking about those who were born and you can't tell if they're male or female. I'm not talking any of that stuff. But there is a, it seems to be in some of these theories that, like, the old constructs, as they would call them, of gender are gone, and new constructs that not relate to male or female are starting to be very popular. Now, again, I'm not addressing the fact that we are to love and have compassion. Everybody has their own journey. As ministers, we take people where they are and lead them to Jesus Christ. I want to deal with the philosophy of what's happened since really the 1980s and 90s that has shifted some of these historic understandings of, like, male, female, as sort of the ordinary, self-evident understanding to now anything goes. Where does that come from?
Well, I think it comes from pragmatism.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people know that that word just means being practical.
Yes, it feels like that.
And that was the name given to this philosophy. But the philosophy, it doesn't just mean be practical.
Okay.
In a common sense way. It has a theory of reality and a theory of knowledge.
Okay.
Well, it has, I should take that back. Most of the people who are pragmatists now would say they don't have a theory of reality and they don't want one. But they certainly have a theory of knowledge. They have an epistemology. And the epistemology is that there really is no truth, and that you should stop this search for truth. The modern period in philosophy, 1600, 1800, everybody is looking for this truth, that truth. What can we know? How much can we know about the world outside ourselves? How much can we know about how our minds operate? Can we know that there's a transcendent God?
Right.
Can we know that there are laws of physics? It's all that stuff that they're asking. So these people consider themselves postmodern. They're over all of that.
Yeah.
They're not investigating what's true or false because nobody can ever find that out. That's one of the most prominent.
Hold on, nobody can find it out.
Nope. But one of the most prominent of our pragmatists, Richard Rorty, says in one of his early books, there's no way for us to know whether we have found the truth or whether we're closer to the truth by investigating anything.
Okay.
All right? We believe what we believe because we think it will make us happier than we'd otherwise be.
Well, so, and everything's on that block.
Yeah. We're not looking for truth. Well, of course, we're not looking for absolute truth that can't be otherwise, but we're not looking for local truth either. What we're looking for is what works in our lives to make us happy. So one of the originators of it, the first guy to come up with this stuff, was William James, just after the turn of the century. And James said, if a man believes in God and is a good father, a good citizen, upright, happy, then that's true for him.
I see.
And if another man is an atheist, and he's a good father and a good husband and a good citizen, and it works for him, then that's the truth for him. In other words, there is no truth, true, false.
Right. Yeah. So then when it comes to, like, sort of the recent thing where, like, so many understandings of culture, even things that seem transparently real, are no longer real?
I don't see that's the ontology again. That's the theory of reality.
So they
don't want to mess with that. They want to say there is no, you can't get to an ontology. You can't get to a theory of reality at all.
Okay.
So we're just going to take as real where you are, where you live, what your problems are, and so on. And then in good, what shall I call it, political correctness style, it's always seemed to me that the political correctness people glom onto something that's true. And maybe it's even a place where the public generally has failed to be as considerate as they could of somebody, and then exaggerated into absurdity.
Right. Okay.
So there's no ethical truth that can't be made crazy by wild distortion. I give you an example. Of course, you don't want to assume or speak to a blind person assuming that they can see. You take that into consideration.
Right.
But the political correctness people wanted to rule out of a New York Times ad, which was an ad for an apartment, that it had a river view.
I see.
Because the blind can't see the river view. Well, the blind know that.
Right.
They don't care. If you read to them that it says river view, maybe they'd rather have a river view apartment.
Yeah, so people who visit them can
see
the river.
That's right. You can't assume that they're so silly and touchy as that they're going to be offended that you put it into the ad. Of course you put it into the ad because not everybody that's interested is blind. And they do want a river view. I think that's just, I can tell you one just as silly. When I was taking my turn as chairman of the department at the College of New Jersey, which is the institution from which I'm retired.
Right.
And so I had to write up an ad that we wanted to put out because we had an opening in the department. And the ad wanted to say that we need somebody in ancient philosophy.
Right.
All right. But the job freeze is set in, and jobs are so scarce that any place that advertises that they have any opening, everybody who's just finished their PhD, is just finishing their PhD, who doesn't have a job, sends you their resume.
Right.
So I know I'm going to get 1,000 resumes.
Right.
And we in the department have to go through all these. And the first thing we're going to do is throw a whole bunch of them out because they're not in ancient philosophy.
Right.
So I said in the ad, please don't respond to this if your specialty is not ancient philosophy. The affirmative action officer at the college made me take it out of the ad because that was discriminating. Well, not in the bad sense. It's discriminating in the sense that we know what we want and need. Yeah.
Right.
And there's no use to having all those people send their resumes if they're not in ancient philosophy. That's just stupid.
Right.
And I said to the dean, okay, I'll take it out, but I'm going to change the address and all the applications are going to go to the affirmative action officer. She can go through them and see which ones are for ancient philosophy and which ones aren't. It's just,
it's so stupid. So what's happening is, in a sense, from a philosophic perspective, it's moving in a way that things that aren't self-evident are no longer self-evident. Things like, just plain, if you're looking for a philosophy person, you want somebody in ancient philosophy. You want that.
That's right.
Ordinarily, if someone is born male or female, ordinarily, that's their gender.
Yes.
And I have noticed so many people are, so someone gets to be like 12 or 13 years old and parents take, you know, their gender off the table. It's totally up to you. We don't know, you know, in a sense, we're creating a world where things that used to be are no longer, and things that seem clear are no longer clear.
It seems to me that's an example of the same thing I was talking about. I call it an exaggeration of political correctness.
Okay.
It is true that in the past those people have been treated badly.
Yeah. Oh.
It's been true that they
have
denied their civil
rights.
As minister,
we should not,
that's right.
God created all humans to be loved and respected. Yeah. All of that.
And we want the,
yes.
And we want that. And we want them to be accepted by the
yes.
people, too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But you don't achieve that by saying, now it doesn't matter. Now we're not going to mention anything.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because sometimes it does matter in hiring. You may want a man rather than a woman or a woman rather than a man.
Right. There are goals. But the point being is you're saying there's a little bit of an over or a lot of an overreach.
Yes.
So it's two things. One is the philosophy that the truth for me has moved the dime philosophically.
Yeah, and there's no general truth to be had.
Right, and we have the truth. It's
patently false.
And they have a religious belief like we do.
Yeah, they do.
And they don't necessarily admit to it. What is their religious belief then?
Well, you have to examine each one to see what it is he or her leaves in untouched as the self-existent origin of everything else.
I see.
That's the definition of religious belief. A belief is a religious belief if it's a belief in something as the self-existent, that is absolutely non-dependent, reality that generates everything else.
Right.
And people have very self-consciously said, no, that's matter, that's logical laws, that's mathematics, that's this, right. that, the other thing. And of course, the Christian view is it's only God.
God. So God gives us his truth right. from God.
Right. And so when you see somebody saying, no, nothing is divine, this is what this pragmatist I quoted earlier
yeah, yeah.
said, there's nothing divine and we're not going for ontology, we're just dealing with the truths of the circumstances we find ourselves in and with things we regard as true without having to justify that they are true because we can't do that for anything.
Right.
This guy, imagine that. This guy doesn't even know that one and one makes two.
Right.
He's, oh, that's just...
What guy? Is that Rorty?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was Richard Rorty.
Now, where was Richard Rorty? He was... he was
Richard Rorty was at Princeton and... A member of, arguably, the finest philosophy department in the country, certainly one of them.
Okay.
And when he arrived at the conclusion that pragmatism was right, that we don't accept things because they're true, but because we think they'll make us happier than we'd otherwise be, and that there's no real way to get access to any truth, or know that you're closer than you were before, he resigned his position.
Wait, he resigned his position
yeah.
from philosophy
yeah.
at that prestigious
because
school?
Because everybody else in the department presents philosophy as looking for the truth and finding it. And the other members of that department, have, so far as I'm acquainted with their work, would have said, of course there's truth, and it's this. They disagree, but they all think something is true. And he's out of step. I haven't read any autobiographical writing by him, but it looked to me that he resigned because he couldn't agree with that and he didn't want to be part of a department that promotes that the idea that there's really truth. So he was later hired by the University of Virginia, and it wasn't in philosophy, it was something like culture studies, so that's not it, but something close to that.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he's free to present his view.
Right.
Now, if that was the reason that he resigned, I have all kinds of esteem and admiration for his integrity,
yeah, yeah.
even if he's wrong.
Yeah.
He is.
yeah. Well, and I guess maybe we should conclude by saying that in the end, we see God in Christ Jesus as the truth by which all of our lives hang together. And his word is the truth about God and how he's made us revealed by God.
Yes.
And that is our religious belief. We judge no one for not holding that. I mean, that's up to God and them and
that's
our
right.
ministry ability to proclaim the gospel when appropriate.
That's right.
So thank you. I think that clears up some of these issues. And I just really appreciate you. You've come and done several classes here. So this is just another one of those things we want to check in with you and see sort of what say you on this subject.
Okay. My pleasure.